As Zach and Sharon returned from a one-month vacation in a secluded cabin at the top of beautiful Mount Mandinoc, they noticed that the local gas station just at the outskirts of town was abandoned. Their first thought was that there was some family emergency that the longtime owner, Frank Winston, had to leave quickly for and forgot to lock up the station. They gassed up their SUV and left the money on the cash register and headed home. They lived on an old country road that is lined with 100-foot-tall oak trees. Their son, Samuel, always said goodbye to the trees every time they leave the house, and he says hello to them every time they return home. As they pulled up to their house, they noticed that the side door was wide open. Zach, the father, got out of the car first and told the rest of the family to stay in the car and lock all the doors while he checked the house. As he shut the driver's door, his wife, Sharon, hit the power lock button and locked all five doors of the SUV. Zach had left a pickaxe beside the garage the day they left for vacation. He had dug up some dead trees in the backyard. He grabbed the axe and lifted it above his right shoulder as he entered the side door into the kitchen. As Zach entered the kitchen, he saw the table and chairs turned on their side. The refrigerator and freezer doors were both open, and the food in both was spilled out all over the floor. The plates, glasses, pots, and pans were thrown all over the kitchen. Zach made his way slowly into the family room and living room. There was no sign of anyone in there. Zach started up the stairs slowly to check the second floor. As he got to the third step, there was a loud creak in the wood. It made his heart stop. He froze and then realized it was just the step. As Zach got to the top of the steps, he heard a noise coming from his daughter, Jamie's room. He took each step very slowly and stayed close to the wall. The door was partly closed. He opened it very slowly and looked through the crack to make sure no one was behind the door. As he walked into the room, he heard a noise behind him. Zach turned around quickly, ready to swing the pickaxe as hard as he could. All he saw was his daughter's curtain blowing in the wind. The noise Zach heard when he was downstairs was the curtain weight in the hem of the curtain hitting the wall. He took a deep breath for the first time since he started walking up the stairs. Zach still had to check the other three bedrooms. He went slowly, one bedroom at a time, until he had looked at every room, including the two bathrooms. He found nothing but clothes thrown all over the floor, and the medicine cabinet in the bathroom emptied on the floor. Zach ran back outside to get his family before he called the police. He called 911 when he got back in the house. It just rang and rang and rang and rang. Zach thought it was odd that there wasn't a dispatcher available to answer 911. He tried it again, but there still was no answer. One perk with living in a small town was they had the sheriff's cell phone number and his home number. Zach tried the cell phone number first, but it went right to voicemail. He left a message and then tried his home number. There was no answer at his home. Zach was perplexed and didn't know what to do now. He wanted to go for help, but didn't want his family to be left alone. Zach told Sharon that he was not able to reach anyone and was not comfortable with leaving the family at the house in case the burglars came back and don't see a vehicle in the driveway. The entire family piled back into the SUV and they started down the long driveway under the trees and headed into town. As they drove, Zach and Sharon were talking about what could have happened to the dispatchers and the sheriff for them not to be available. They talked about an accident on the railroad that could have taken all the available personnel from the sheriff department and fire department to an accident on the interstate. Neither of them could have ever fathomed what really happened in their small town.